Today on Real Radio.
You're at war with God. You fight him on every turn. You're fighting against him at every moment. That doesn't have to be anymore. What would it matter if there was world peace and hatred and meanness and wickedness was still in your heart? Then there wouldn't be world peace, would there?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called The Worldview Series, a series that encourages us to have an active, relevant, engaging, and culturally involved faith. In this message called Our Biblical Worldview and War, Part 2, Pastor Jack continues with this understanding. We do not enjoy or desire war. The Bible tells us, however, that there will always be war and rumors of war. And until Christ returns, military power must be used against hostile groups and nations to protect our freedom and independence. Today, Pastor Jack concludes Part 2 by reminding us that our very nation was established through war because of tyranny and oppression. Every nation in the world has a history of war. Even our salvation was established through war when Jesus conquered sin and death by dying for us on the cross. And now for today's lesson, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Three nations today are fighting against some form of communism, Islamic theocracy, or Nazism. Most of them have no borders, no flags, no uniforms, no rules, and no ethics or morality that you and I can relate to. And our children in schools are being told a multicultural fairy tale. And America has, the enemy has found the underbelly of America. Just talk sweet nothings into her ear and she'll just let you walk on in. And in the name of multiculturalism, our children no longer learn about George Washington or William Bradford. They no longer learn about John F. Kennedy and him taking on the Russians in the Cuban Missile Crisis. They don't even know what I'm talking about. It's a very tragic thing. You might come back and say, but wait a minute, what about Matthew chapter 5, verse 38? You have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, Jesus said that, ye resist not evil, but whoever shall smite you on the right cheek, turn to him the other cheek also. Do you know where that comes from? That comes from Leviticus 24:20. That is the law of retaliation against personal attack. Have you ever wondered how can God justify war in his Bible, but then say, turn the other cheek? My friend, those two issues do not apply to one another. One is, if David smacked me in the face, I'm not to smack him back in the face. You understand that? This has nothing to do with war. I'm to turn the other cheek and I'm to say, listen, what's going on? We need to negotiate this. What's your trip, David? It's to prevent personal revenge against another person. That's what turning the other cheek is all about. But listen, the number one verse used to say, you know what? We can't get involved is this verse right here when they try to make it apply to war. And again, don't think for a moment I'm a warmonger. All bit of war, all war should be absolutely avoided at all costs. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. The Christian is to be the most law-abiding, loving, and we should be the ones that are steering every bit of diplomatic opportunity away from war. But like Abraham Lincoln said, my heart was for peace, but my enemy was bent on war. What do you do if your heart's for peace, but the guy coming against you wants to destroy you? What do you do? Next slide. I'm going to ask you this question. Was the American Civil War, a just war? Oh, you guys, now, okay, let's back up. You have to get involved. This is a classroom tonight. I'm your teacher, you are the student. Was the American Civil War between North and South a justified war?
Yes.
Wow. That was good. It was our bloodiest war, you know. You know, we lost more guys than any other war ever. Are you sure it was a justified war? Why was it justified? Why would Lincoln go to war against the South? What was his reason for warring? Thank you. Finally. It wasn't to save the Union. That was the byproduct of the worldview. What was his worldview? Read his writings. Lincoln's very popular right now. There's books all over about Lincoln. Listen, Lincoln saw what the Bible said about slavery as a scourge, he called it, upon America. Slavery. That's a just war. The United States launched in 1804 a war against the Muslim pirates on the Barbary Coast to liberate tens of thousands of European and American slaves taken captive in North Africa. And when questioned, Thomas Jefferson said, "It's a just war. We're going to liberate those that have been taken captive by piracy." Interesting. On the screen, I hope you have this. Yes, here we go. On the occasion, this is Lincoln at his second inaugural address. On the occasion corresponding to this 4 years ago, all thoughts were anxiously directed to an impending civil war. All dreaded it. All sought to avert it. You hear that? That's good. While the inaugural address was being delivered from this place, devoted altogether to the saving of the Union without war, insurgent agents were in the city seeking to destroy it without war. That's happening today, ladies and gentlemen. Seeking to dissolve the Union and divide effects by negotiation. Both parties depreciated war. That is, they talked it down. But one of them would make war rather than let the Union survive. And the other would accept war rather than let it perish. And the war came. Interesting. Look at Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. God's word to Israel. "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commands, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth." Now, this is to Israel. But wasn't there a time when America was set high above all nations of the earth? "And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body." Isn't that beautiful? Babies are going to be born like pancakes or hotcakes or whatever you want to call it. "The produce of your ground and the increase of your herbs, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks." They're just going to have incredible abundance. "Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out." Verse 7, "The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you." Verse 12, "The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations." Did America used to loan money to many nations? Oh my God. Didn't we not once fill the earth with food? "But you shall not borrow." Boy, that comma. In 80 years, in 60 years, that comma held back. For 60 years, that was the case. And then we borrowed. Verse 15. "But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and you shall become troublesome to all the kingdoms of the earth." Next slide. I ask it again. Was the Civil War, as an example, a just war? Lincoln in his second inaugural address again. Each looked for an easier triumph and a result less fundamental and astounding. Both read the same Bible and pray to the same God. And each invokes his aid against the other. Isn't that weird? It may seem strange that any men should dare to ask a just God's assistance in wringing their bread from the sweat of other men's faces. But let us judge not that we be not judged. The prayers of both could not be answered. That of neither has been answered fully. The Almighty has his own purposes. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. Lincoln's quoting Jesus. But woe to that man by whom the offenses cometh. Wow. Number six, we'll end with this. Our biblical worldview on war, when will there be no more war? That's what we all want. The Bible's very realistic and very practical about when there will be no more war. And that will be at the end of time. Even during, if you read the book of Isaiah carefully, even when you look into what the millennium will be like, the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, the Bible teaches that Christ must return. The Bible teaches that Jesus will sit upon the throne of David. He's not seated upon the throne of David tonight. He's on the throne of his Father in heaven. He must sit upon his earthly genealogy, David, to fulfill all biblical prophecies. Old Testament says so. Jesus is the son of David. Even during the millennial reign, the Bible says at the end of 1,000 years, read Revelation chapter 22, Satan will be released for a season and deceive those in the world at that time to come against Christ. Now, they may not do anything in the sense of actual war, but the fallout will be like war nonetheless. The scripture says that Christ will arise from his throne and they'll be destroyed. Prior to that, you've got the end of the Battle of Armageddon, which the Bible says Christ in his second coming, Revelation 19, he says, in fact, if I do not return among these warring nations against one another, he says, if I do not return, there will be no flesh left on the earth. He said, I must return to put an end to this killing. And the Battle of Armageddon is sequestered by Jesus himself. And so the great question is, when will there be no more war? And I want to put it to you this way as we wrap this up. In the end, when Christ returns, he will take the possession of military power or peace, okay? The greater question is this: when will I have no more war? That can happen tonight. There can be now tonight, at your choosing, no more war. The Bible says that you and I are at war with God if we're not believers in him. If we're not trusting him, we're resisting him. If tonight you're not a real Christian, a real believer, a real follower, then the Bible says you're at enmity. That is an old English word. You're at war with God. You fight him on every turn. You're fighting against him at every moment. That doesn't have to be anymore. What would it matter if there was world peace and hatred and meanness and wickedness was still in your heart? Then there wouldn't be world peace, would there? Everybody could be singing Kumbaya and sharing everybody's straw at the UN, and it would be a wonderful day. But if there's war in your home, what do you care, right? Think about it. It's in the human heart. War originated in the human heart, and it can be ended in the human heart. I'm going to give you some homework. Just jot it down. Revelation 19:11, Jesus comes back as the warring King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In Revelation chapter 12, the Bible there talks about a great war that will break open in the heavens between Satan and his angels, and Michael and his angels. The Bible says in Zechariah 14:1, behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst, for I will gather all the nations to the battle against Jerusalem. The city shall be taken, the houses shall be rifled, the women ravaged, half the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fought or as he fights in the day of battle. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born and a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Wow. And so listen, when we talk about this thing of war, I wish I could say, isn't it great? There's no wars happening. Everything's fine. Eat, drink, and be merry, you know? But that's not the case. And as you look at this, we settle it now in our minds. A little worldview exam as we end. Did you know that by war, either thrust upon or invited, nations and their borders have been determined? You may have an opinion, but the Bible says that God has established the borders and their predetermined boundaries of the nations. Isn't that interesting? By war, the United States Civil War liberated black Americans. Is that good or bad? By war, evil empires have been destroyed and people have been liberated, such as Nazi Germany. Is that good or bad? The war Hitler, by war, Hitler came to power and killed over 11 million people in total, but he was stopped. Stopping him by war, good or bad? By war, as we know today, happening in what's called the Arab Spring, the Muslim Brotherhood is taking over the Middle East. Now listen, by war, the Muslim Brotherhood has taken over the Middle East. Think, is that good or bad? It's bad. Now, if Muslim Brotherhood guys were here, they'd say, no, it's good. How can they say that? Well, how can you say what you just said? We say it's good, you say it's bad. Your worldview. It's all based on your morality. I don't mean to offend our English visitor right now, but the United States colonies defeated the British Empire. For her, not so good. For us, very good. You're here tonight as Americans. By war, Jesus Christ will establish his 1,000-year reign upon earth and put an end to the Battle of Armageddon and the governments of man. Good or bad? Actually, it's awesome. That's awesome. So listen, let's just end this now. But here's the deal. All of that is a worldview, is a biblical worldview. But tonight, the most important thing about war and battles is what I said earlier about your own heart and your own life. Are you at peace with God? Do you have, listen, my friend, please listen, this is critical. Tonight, are you at peace with God? I'm not asking if you're at peace with the world, because I don't know if that's possible, okay? But are you at peace with God? You see, before you come to Christ, you're not at peace with God. And even if you try to say that you are, I got news for you. God's not at peace with you. The Bible says that God is angry with the wicked every day. And the only way that he removes that wicked banner from off our head is by the blood of Christ, his own son. By you saying, I need God's forgiveness. Jesus, I believe the Bible that you died on the cross and rose again from the grave. I accept your offering of sin and accept salvation that you extend to me. I realize tonight I cannot save myself. I cannot fix myself. I surrender, dear God. I realize I helped put you on the cross. And I'm asking you, Lord, to forgive me of my sins. The moment you open your life up to that reality and that truth and you call out to God, The Holy Spirit begins to put a reality in your heart that I cannot fully define or describe. And for some of you tonight, maybe perhaps some of you tonight, you've never been at peace. You've never laid your head down on the pillow at night and you were able to say, it is well, it is well, it is well with my soul. That if an earthquake would hit, if somebody came into your home or you died of a heart attack, you would wake up in the presence of Jesus and you're not afraid. Do you understand that? You don't need to go down to your bed anymore fearing, what if I die in my sleep? Or what if I, you can get your life right with him now by simply believing in his promise to save you. He already paid the price, but you don't get to enjoy that benefit unless you accept the gift. Let's bow our heads. This is a serious moment. I'm going to pray in a moment, and if you agree at any point along this prayer, as I pray for you, any time along this prayer, you believe, you know that you need to respond to the Holy Spirit, and you're saying, I accept this. I'm accepting Christ. I'm yielding my life. I'm coming to him. I'm asking him to forgive me and to change my life, to make me his own. If at any time that happens, that reality hits your heart tonight, raise your hand. I'll be looking. No one else is looking. I'm looking. I'll pray with my eyes open. I'm looking. But you would say tonight, dear Lord, I come to you. And I'm asking you now, Jesus, to cover, take away, wash away my sins, my evil, the things that I have done, the things that you know. There are things that people don't even know about me, but you know, and God, I'm asking you, in my shame, I'm calling out to you, oh God, forgive me. I'm asking you now to receive my profession of faith. I'm saying, Lord, that I believe the Bible, that Jesus died on the cross, rose again from the grave, and that he's my Lord and my Savior. I proclaim that, and I say so tonight by expressing my agreement, by raising my hand. I'm saying, Jesus, come into my life. Jesus, save me. I'm coming to you, Lord Christ Jesus. God bless you. You, 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 you.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Our Biblical Worldview and War, Part 2. Thanks for listening today. Our desire is that you stay encouraged and focused on the Word. And don't forget, governments are still on God's shoulder, and he will bring judgment and justice through the return of Jesus Christ. Today's lesson was just one in our series called the Worldview Series. It's a series that looks at worldview issues with a biblical lens, and we'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. If you are looking to have a more active, a more relevant, and engaging faith, which we hope you do, check out the Worldview Series. Now, you can get your hands on the entire series, the entire Worldview Series, on MP3 for your gift of any amount to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And it's in a very convenient format. It's a USB thumb drive that contains the entire Worldview series of sermons by Pastor Jack on MP3. Now, you can load those into your computer if you'd like. You can put them onto your iPad, your iPod, whatever you like to carry during the day. And you'll have the entire Worldview series. Now, this is the series that Pastor Jack really focused on, you having a more active, a more relevant, and engaging faith. It helps us connect biblical context to our modern-day world. You know, a lot of us have a tough time doing that, connecting the Bible to our everyday life. Well, this Worldview Series is going to help you do just that. It's the Worldview Series USB MP3, available for your gift of any amount to this ministry. Just go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Once again, for your gift of any amount to this ministry, you'll get that Worldview Series on USB thumb drive in MP3 format. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.